Oh no, are they going to argue again?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama arrived in China last night with a lot on his mind. Climate change, of course, North Korea, global recovery, and, as always, the value of the Chinese currency. The White House has called it undervalued. China is getting tired of hearing that. Marketplace's Scott Tong has our story from Shanghai.
Calls for China to boost its currency are not fair, so says a spokesman for the Chinese Ministry of Commerce. Beijing pegs its exchange rate to the dollar, which is falling. So according to the spokesperson, if China raised its currency, it'd be unfair. That would make Chinese goods more expensive in American stores and hurt Chinese exporters. UCLA economist Calla Weimer.
The danger of an exchange rate adjustment is that it slows down China's economic growth. And that doesn't do much good for the rest of the world.
But the IMF today said it considers the Chinese currency significantly undervalued. And it argued in Beijing that a stronger currency is necessary. That would help Chinese consumers buying imports and boost domestic demand in China. And the world needs Chinese shoppers to help replace anemic American shoppers. Patrick Bennett is a currency strategist at Societe Generale.
You know, on any reasonable metric, the currency is undervalued. The prospect for it to rise is very much the consensus opinion.
Critics want the rise sooner rather than later, though it could be months, even a year, away. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And in the meantime, Asian stocks are humming along. They were up this morning 1 to 2%. Investors keep pouring into commodities and resource companies. European markets are higher, too, by about 1% so far. And Wall Street is coming off another zesty week. Stocks gained about 2.5%, which for the Dow meant a 250-point trip for the week. It closed Friday up at 10,270. Big day for General Motors today, which you own if you're a taxpayer. In just a few minutes, the company will give us third quarter earnings, the most detailed picture we have seen of its finances since it came out of bankruptcy. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So what do we know about what GM is going to tell us this morning?
The biggest news right now is that GM is going to start paying back its government loan early. You'll remember that GM owes the government, or us, as you point out, $6.7 billion, and it's reportedly going to start making its first payment of $1 billion before the end of the year. It's supposed to keep paying $1 billion a quarter, which means the loan could actually be paid off by 2011. That's 4 years ahead of schedule.
All that sounds pretty good, Elisa. Are we saying that GM is actually doing well?
I think calling it doing well might be a bit optimistic at this point. GM has done a good job of cutting costs through things like layoffs and plant closings. And just like everybody else, cash for clunkers helped GM sell more cars for a while. But in the big picture, it's really still selling a lot fewer cars than it used to.
Okay. So is there any news in here that is unequivocally good?
Yeah. Last month, sales were up 5%, which was a big surprise. Just a couple of weeks ago, GM decided not to sell off its European unit, Opel, which suggests it's at least in good enough shape to hang on to that and hopefully make it profitable.
Right. So does this mean that GM is getting ready to go public once more?
The original plan was to take the company public again sometime late next year. Last week, the chairman of the board said it's way too early to put a date on an IPO. And now some people are saying the company's going to wait to go public until it's repaid all the money that it owes.
Okay. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us live this morning. Elisa, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at SunGard.com. Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Continuing on the theme of rescued companies, Wall Street firms are already unpopular for paying giant bonuses this year after getting that taxpayer lifeline. Well, those same firms are spending heavily to lobby Congress against financial reforms. And Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman tells us those efforts are the subject of a protest today by union activists and their allies.
Shame on you! 5,000 people rallied against bailouts and foreclosures and lax financial regulation at the American Bankers Convention in Chicago last month. It'll be much the same today at Goldman Sachs in Washington. Stephen Lerner of the Service Employees International Union says taxpayers saved Wall Street. Now Wall Street's trying to protect its profits.
We bailed them out, and now they're using that money to oppose the changes in the law that would protect us from a future economic calamity.
Labor and taxpayer groups want tough reforms from Congress, a new consumer protection agency, limits on bank size, more oversight of risky investments. Financial companies are trying to slow the rush to regulation, but, says Sheila Krumholtz of the Center for Responsive Politics,
they know that reform is coming, like it or not.
So industry lobbyists are trying to water it down.
To do as little damage as possible to their bottom lines.
And they do have plenty of weight to throw around. According to a report out today from Public Citizen, financial companies gave $42 million to political candidates over the past year. Top recipients were lawmakers crafting new regulations for the industry. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, the late Yves Saint Laurent was a rich, famous French couturier. So you might assume he dined with 18th century porcelain and lounged on leopard print couches and gilded chairs. Well, the reality is, you're right. Those items and more will be auctioned this week in France as Saint Laurent's longtime partner liquidates a couple of the homes they shared. He already sold the artwork last winter for almost $500 million. This is the low-end stuff, the armchairs ordered by the Queen of Holland for an 1812 costume ball, and some bone-handled magnifying glasses and crocodile leather suitcases. This sale's only expected to bring in about $6 million. An official at Christie's Auction House says a lot of this stuff is quirky, but it's intimate. And this is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.